WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. If we drop frames, I'm sorry, chat. I don't know what's going on, but things will be happening on the live stream, whether you're listening to the archives of the podcast, on Apple, on Spotify, wherever. Everything should be okay. I'm the producer, as she just mentioned. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live tonight, because we got things to do, places to be, and it finally happened.
They finally made an announcement, thank God.
They did.
So we might as well go ahead and just start there because it's the biggest news of the week, just in terms of everything. So in case you live under a rock, AEW announced, I should say finally announced, their TV deal for the next 3 to 4 years. They are staying on WBD, which is awesome. And it's a increase in what they were getting.
Big increase.
And yeah,
a very big increase. Yes.
Yeah, so essentially what got announced was that they're getting a new multi-year, multi-platform media rights deal with Warner Brothers. The deal is valued at upwards of $185 million per year. That's about $555 million overall value, third year valued the most. And just kind of the nitty-gritty. So Dynamite and Collision are expected to remain on TBS and TNT, and they will be streamed on Max as well in the U.S. only. You get the AEW library on Max, which that is probably the explanation for the increase. One of the explanations, I should say. And in addition, this is a big note. This is a really, really big deal because we talked about this earlier this year that Tony Khan was facing a problem with his pay-per-views because traditional pay-per-view is going away. And what is he going to do? Because they do rely on pay-per-views for their income. Well, their pay-per-views will be available on Max in the later portion of 2025, and you'll be able to get them at a discounted rate.
Which we'll talk about.
Yeah. Which we'll get into. The deal also includes enhanced distribution rights across social media, as well as potential new AEW programming on linear and digital platforms. And then WBT has exclusivity over the AEW broadcast content on TV, but now do not. So they're getting that.
WBD had exclusivity rights over AEW content when they started Collision. AEW now has it back, which is why they're able to sell a show elsewhere.
Ah, which may or may not be coming.
We'll talk about it.
Depending on what rumors you believe. Let's talk about it. Let's break all that down.
All right. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the exclusivity. I can't fucking talk.
The exclusivity clause was they gave it up, which is why AEW Dark went away back when Collision started. Because they didn't want any other content streaming on any other platforms but their own.
So there is the potential that Dark could come back since something may be going away.
Rampage is gone. So that's the first thing. Rampage is gone as of 2025 because they're
gone.
It's off the books. So will Battle of the Belts because there's no live specials announced in this deal. So they lost Rampage and lost like the Battle of the Belts unless that comes back. But that wasn't a part of any of the deal they put out there this week.
When we were kind of talking about this offline, we sort of discussed the potential that they might lose one of the TV shows because realistically speaking, their numbers are fine. Like, the numbers that they're posting, they could be better. There's always room for improvement, but the numbers that they've been doing have been fine. But Rampage and Collision have really been taking a hit in terms of just viewership. And three shows is a lot to sustain. And I feel like you and I both felt like that it's like that hour of Rampage could either go to Collision, you make that a two-hour show on Saturday nights, or you could give it to Dynamite, make it a three-hour show.
Collision's already two? Yeah.
I didn't know Collision was already two. I'm so sorry.
Collision's
two. I thought it was one.
Nope. Rampage is one. Collision is two.
Well, I knew Rampage was one. I thought Collision was two or one. My bad. I'm so sorry. But anyway, we had talked about that. But it makes sense that Rampage is going away.
Right.
So but it's not going to Fox?
The Shockwave show that's being pitched will be going to a Fox brand. Okay. Most likely Fox broadcast at some point.
Okay. I mean, that's good.
But probably not in a prime time. I would doubt it's in a prime time slot because I don't know what they have to available.
I think it depends on when they debut it and what, if anything, will preempt it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the key.
Because they're not going to get Fridays back because football is on there and that's doing really well. And there'll be other content, sports content throughout the year on there. So AEW wouldn't fit in that slot because AEW would be a death nail in it. Because they're not going to get any, sort of bump from it. So that's where they're at with that.
I mean, you could put it on Thursdays.
But no, they have primetime content. Like, that's the thing. There's no slot for primetime content because that's where they do their scripted shows.
I know, but just in general, you stick on a Thursday.
But where?
FS1.
But if FS1 is different. If they're shooting for broadcast, you can't put it on FS1. And the deal with that is...
But the question is, are they going to get broadcast?
I think that's their only option at this point. Because I think WBD owns their cable rights, I think.
I don't know. Because the other interesting thing that kind of got confirmed in all of this, and it was always rumored, but it was never like officially out there anywhere, is that Warner Brothers does own an equity stake in AEW. They didn't say how much.
That some people are denying it, but that could be a thing.
It wasn't official.
One outlet says it is, but it's widely considered that's something.
Well, I remember when the deal first initially got made for them that like Turner or Warner Brothers was covering their production costs, and that could be in exchange for like the stake. Is that they take care, you know, they have a specific level investment in AEW to make it a success. I don't know, though. This is all purely speculation, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so there is talk of that being the exclusivity being that they're on cable and then they get sold elsewhere. Who knows if that's true or not? As they'll be able to do other platforms digitally as well to sell content.
Digital is interesting.
Yeah,
but I'm curious about that.
It is. It's very curious. The other part of the deal is Dynamite and Collision are going to be on TBS and TNT, as you mentioned, and it's going to be streamed on Max, US only. That's a key. It'll be done at the same time, so there'll be a simulcast of it, whether they have commercials on there or not. Maybe a better option to watch it on there without having to have commercials. Who knows? Because it could be the feed they use for Triller and whatever on that side of things. So there's that. It's interesting.
It's very interesting. It's a very, 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 very interesting thing. The other thing that we found kind of curious when this got announced was the valuation and the money and how much they were actually getting, because there was the official announcement and it said up to, and even in this, in what we have on our sheet, it says valued upwards of $185 million per year. And part of that was speculated that it could be the pay-per-view buy rates. It's just beer beating. I'm so sorry, tonight is so scuffed. It's just so scuffed. So we'll circle back to that. But kind of like in terms of valuation, but yeah, so like it's most likely a 3-year deal, with obviously the last year being valued the most, like I said before. And there is a 4th-year option, meaning that they could get an extension on the 4th year, which I find kind of weird. It feels like it's almost structured like a sports deal that like, hey, we're going to give you 3 years with a 4th option. Like that's a little strange to me. Yeah, like college football coaches, basically. But it's good that they're getting an increase. It's good that they're getting more in terms of their content being distributed by WBD. I don't know why I can't say that. Because the clutch is kind of that the library is going on Max, which is good. And the pay-per-view thing. I'm really curious to see how the pay-per-views are going to work, because the technology for the pay-per-views is still technically being developed. Like they're still working on it, which is probably why it's going to be later in 2025, because they have to test and everything. Because Max, as far as I know, is not a live content service in the vein of like what Amazon or some of the other platforms are doing, like Amazon, Hulu, that kind of thing.
They don't sell content.
Yeah, they don't sell content. You have a Max subscription and then you can, I believe, watch whatever you want on there. Now, Amazon, you have your Prime membership, but you can buy content through their video service. You get certain stuff for free, but then you have to pay for other stuff. So the pay-per-view thing is really, really, really curious. Peacock was that way at first and they figured it out. So I'm sure that Max is HBO and Warner Brothers are looking at it in terms of how to get that content on there and distribute it. But it's figuring that part out, because originally I don't think that was ever going to be part of the deal unless Tony's plan all along, which was to try to get on Max, because I know for a fact that like he originally with ROH tried to get it on Max and they said no. And then now here we are a year, 2 years later, and they're talking about putting their pay-per-views on there.
Yeah, so the pay-per-views will come at some point.
But now that you're back.
Fully back, yeah.
Let's talk about the money.
I mean, it is what it is. So they had a goal, and they could still hit this goal. They want to reach $200 million a year. That's what they want. And if they can escalate up to $185, because that's kind of what the deal is, where it's going to gradually grow in the deal for $555, they'll be okay, which is why I think they wanted a 5-year deal, which would have gotten to close to a billion for it, so $200 million a year. So if they can get on Fox at a percentage of what NXT is getting from CW, because CW is giving $25 million a year. If they can, and they have the same basic structure of numbers, that would get them to $200 million a year, and then they would be very profitable in their minds. I mean, it's a good number for them. They were at 75 for 3 shows at the tail end of this year. Is what they were making, $75 million for the 3 shows and the specials. So now they're going to do 2 shows, 5 hours, or 2 shows, 4 hours for $185 with pay-per-views percentage. Not bad. It all depends what the pay-per-view percentage is going to be, because So ESPN Plus has the UFC, and the only way to buy the UFC pay-per-views online streaming is through ESPN Plus, and you pay full price, plus the ESPN Plus subscription, which is expensive in its own right. But if you bundle it becomes cheaper. But still, you're still paying $90 for the pay-per-view. So the reason why they're not bringing pay-per-view to Max free is because to them, one, I don't think they got enough money for it. And two, they're still doing good pay-per-view business. And you can't go back. Once you cannibalize pay-per-view, you can't go back to it. So if you go to the WWE route, you can't go and charge again fully.
No.
Because your audience won't pay, because they've been paying whatever for $10, now $7.99 for a decade.
Years. Yeah.
So you can't go back to it. So Tony's going to sell it and sell pay-per-view as long as the pay-per-view business is still drawing. If he's still drawing 100,000 buys a pay-per-view, he's making good money for himself. Unless someone offers him, I would say, double what he's earning, he's going to keep it as is, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's the thing with like what WWE did is they looked at their metrics. They knew what they had to make in order to take it off of pay-per-view. They knew that. They had that number in their head. And they had a consistent enough base that they could hit that number pretty regularly. I think it dropped off there after a while. And they were beginning to kind of struggle with it, which is what prompted, I believe, the move off the network. Because they sort of hit saturation on the network.
Yeah,
and it was like, we're not going to go any further with it. Like, whoever wants the network has the network. And we can't really get people to sign up again or get new signees. Like, they were struggling with it at the end, which is why it eventually went away, because it's like, well, there's only so much we can do. And so they moved to Peacock, which was even better than the network, because originally Peacock, if you were a Comcast subscriber, was free.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome.
But with it, they're getting paid for their content, and that's the name of the deal. Before they were putting they were making on their content, but now they're being paid for their content, which is where AEW would like to get to.
WB is getting more for its money in terms of what they're asking from Tony. Like, they're getting, like I was mentioning earlier, they're getting the TV shows, but they're also getting the library.
So
that will be available for everybody's viewing pleasure.
Yeah. So a couple of things with that. Rampage can still be sold off to another network. So there's the Shockwave thing, but Rampage is also out there. So if Rampage gets picked up by another platform, those archives won't be on Max. They'll be moving to whatever platform gets it. Just like how NXT content is no longer on Peacock. The new episodes are on the CW app. The old episodes are going to Netflix, I believe, in January. So there's that. So there's probably more to that story at some point, with probably Rawls and SmackDowns moving to off of Peacock. It seems like it could be a thing.
I think eventually,
We'll have to see about that as time goes on. But overall, this was a good deal for them. They make a ton of money. They're going to be profitable. And the best thing of it all, we can stop talking about it.
At least this part of it. Because, well, there's still the Rampage and the Shockwave stuff that could come. But that might be later. But yeah.
But that
the good news.
That's other stuff. This is the main thing. Dynamite's renewed. This is their TV deal. This is where they're making their bread and butter. Everything else is just extra.
What I hope comes from this is I hope that Tony really seizes this opportunity to grow AEW. Because we were talking about this, where AEW has kind of, like, in terms of where they are right now, they're having a bit of growing pains. They're sort of like stagnating in their ratings. They're dropping and they're trying to do things to raise their ratings, but it's not necessarily consistently working. Like, they're like, oh, we have a surprise this week, and they get that pop from 1 week, and then people don't necessarily come back the next week. And so I hope with the cash flow that Tony is going to get from this, and they use that opportunity as a way to sort of maybe invest in the company and invest a way to help grow the company so that they can begin to retain more viewers and bring the shows back up. But I don't know. But that's because it's like, at the end of the day, I want them to be successful because it's good for everybody. that they're successful, yeah. right? The difficulty that I see with them is that as much as you want to see them be successful, sometimes you read stuff and you see stuff and you always take it with a grain of salt. But it's like Tony will say stuff sometimes and it's like you're cutting your nose off to spite your face with some of the things that he's saying, some of the things that you're seeing that he's doing. And it's like if you want to get to the level that you want to be at, which he wants to be on WWE's level, he wants that machine. You're going to have to make really tough decisions and you're going to have to make changes because AEW is where TNA was. It's where ROH was, where it was really, really popular, is grown exponentially. They have a great TV deal. They have a lot of really good things going for them, but their audience isn't growing. Their audience is shrinking, which means at some point you're going to have to pivot your content to appeal to a broader audience or you're going to have to die because that's what happened to ROH. ROH was like the shit in the early 2000s. Like everybody talked about ROH. It was the best thing ever. And ROH refused to pivot. They refused to really grow. They refused to change their content. They stayed in that very niche market and they died a really long, painful, slow death as a result. Like the one thing that saved ROH was Sinclair Broadcasting buying them. Yeah. And then they just declined after that because again, they refused to pivot. They refused to change. And I see some of that in AEW, just in the statements they make and the storylines they're putting together and just other stuff like that, that we're going to cater to just our niche market. We're just going to cater to our core audience, which is great. There's nothing wrong with sticking to your guns. But if you want to grow the way that you want to grow, if you want to get to a specific goal, then you're going to have to make some tough decisions in terms of your content and how your company is presented. Because otherwise, you're either going to stay where you are, which that's perfectly acceptable as well, or you're going to decline and you're going to shrink and eventually you're possibly going to go out of business.
But for now, they're still in business.
Yeah. So I hope coming out of this, that's the decisions that are made, but we'll see. Who knows?
But going on Max will be very beneficial for their growth, hopefully. That's key.
Yes. I hope it widens their audience, like, because it gives them a massive level of exposure, because I'm sure there will be a big push when they go on Max.
Yes.
And that will help their exposure, because then, much in the same vein of like what WWE was with Peacock, their content is accessible. You can watch it at any time. You can go back and watch pay-per-views. You can binge watch it. You can do whatever you want. And so for your more, because their difficulty is the casual wrestling fans. So, you know, maybe casual wrestling fans who can't watch Dynamite or not necessarily interested in watching it, they see it on Max and they're like, hey.
So, go ahead.
Let's give this a shot.
So the things people have been saying is, hey, you just finished watching Peacemaker, starring who?
John Cena.
So the next recommended video would be
AEW Dynamite.
There you go. And that
or
would
something
be
AEW related.
Right. That would be their hope.
And if it works for them, all the better.
Yeah. So see how things go.
We will see how things go. So sticking on the AEW news for now, it's been announced that MJF has been cast in Happy Gilmore 2. They're making a second one?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
Like, why?
It's 30 years later. I don't know.
But why?
Because they need
that's all they have.
He wants to make a new movie. I don't know.
But Happy saved Grandma's house. He got the girl. Like, he got everything. You know, it's the happy. Okay, this is my problem. It's like, it's the happy ending, right? It's the quintessential happy ending. No pun intended. I don't think Adam Sandler needs the money. I think Adam Sandler's really good on the money.
No, he is Netflix money. He's good.
He's really good. But yeah, like it's like, hey, let's make a sequel. This is my same problem with like what they did with Sex and the City. They're like, let's make a sequel series. Like, no, let me enjoy where you left it. Let me live in that. Not that I was like a huge Sex and the City fan at all, but like, just let, you know, let people have their happy endings, basically, is what I'm saying. Somebody has to say the line, bitch. Well, I mean, you know. Do you think they'll get Rob Schneider in it? Wait, was he in that one?
I don't think he made Happy Gilmore.
No, I'm thinking of the Waterboy.
He was in Waterboy, yeah. He didn't make Happy Gilmore. No,
that was Ben Stiller that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was the nursing home guy.
Yeah. Travis Kelce's also in this as well.
You have to have Dan Patrick in it. You need Shooter.
No, Dan Patrick's the announcer. Shooter. Shooter me. Who have Shooter?
I can see his face. I don't know his name because it's only I know Shooter McGavin.
Christopher McDonald.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, that's that. So he's also in it as well. So yeah, congrats to MJF. Another movie for him.
He's making that Hollywood money, baby. You gonna take that step? That step. Anyway, in other news, Shelton Benjamin is officially Ollie. He signed his contract and he debuted this past week on Rampage. Or not Rampage, Dynamite.
Dynamite. Yep, he was there last night. We'll talk about the other one when he shows up on television. But everyone's super excited. Shelton Benjamin. Someone posted out, hey, this is what WWE gave up, and showed highlight packages from 20 years ago.
I hope it works out for him. I hope he's very successful.
I hope they get all the hurt in the business that they want.
I thought it was more syndication. Aren't they going into syndication?
They're the syndicate, yeah. I think it hurts syndicate. But they're going to redo it, and, you know, this time it'll work. It's not going to work. But they're totally going to work.
Why couldn't they call it, like, the Damage Syndicate or something like that?
Because they want the name Hurt. It's not going to work. But it totally will work this time, because they're totally going to get pushed as a top faction. They're not going to get pushed as a top faction. But they're totally going to be top. It's totally going to work out for them. It's not going to work out for them. But it totally will.
I hope it works out for them. How about that?
I hope it works out for them, too. It's not going to work, though.
You don't think?
No, because I watch AEW, and I see where factions grow and die. How's the House of Black for you people? Where'd they go? They were Trios champs. Cool. They didn't do anything after that. Let's see. What other... Okay, so side tangent, because, and then we'll get into the one last piece of news and some lame brands before we get to Bad Blood. They were talking about 5 years of Dynamite and how Private Party beat the Young Bucks on the second episode of the show. That's their only claim of the fame. They got to work with the Hardys and no one cared. They beat the Young Bucks on episode 2 and everyone thought they were going to be the next big thing. They haven't done anything. Young Bucks are Young Bucks. They're still on top. Talk about Private Party. Young Bucks are who they are. So here's the thing. Okay. You're not going to get past, if you're the Hurt Syndicate, you're not going to get above the Elite. You're not going to get above Moxley's group. You're probably going to end up with maybe in the likes of Jay White and the Gun Club. And we've seen how far Jay White's fallen off. You get a little bit of run, and then, oh, look, you're feuding with the Acclaimed, and the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass have fallen far, far, far down the pike. So they'll get a big push right out of the gate, but they're not... You're pushing two guys in their mid to late 40s. It's not going to go far. But I hope it works. It's not going to. But I hope it works.
We're rooting for you. We're rooting for you, Shelton. We really are. And MVP. And eventually Bobby when he gets there. So wait, shouldn't there be like a fourth?
No. Well, it's two guys and a manager. And they'll probably try to get other people involved.
I hope it works out for them.
It's not going to work out for them.
Moving on to WWE news. Logan Paul and his fiance Nina Agdal, hopefully I said that right, I apologize if I didn't, announced the arrival of their first child, Esme Agdal Paul.
Congrats.
Congratulations to them. I hope everybody's doing well and recovering.
Indeed. Blaine Brent.
Brent had a week. Let's go.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Like, god damn, Brent. Like, Brent and Rob freaking popped off. Holy crap. This one's unfortunate, because he was just getting pushed. Ilya Dragunov has a torn ACL.
Hashtag blame Brent.
I think he's expected to be out at least a year.
6 to 9 months, if not longer, depending on how it goes.
We hope you feel better, Ilya. Braun Strowman has a groin injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Fear is a torn groin.
Hopefully that recovers, because I'm sure that's painful. Yeah, yeah, you say oops. Yeah, you feel bad, because you popped off, dude. This one is very unfortunate, and I seriously hope he's going to be okay. Sammy Guevara had a scare last night at the ROH tapings, where he knocked himself clean out, and he had to be taken to the local medical facility for treatment, because he had a concussion.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And then finally, Kelly Madden also received a concussion.
I believe it's the same blame taping. Brent.
Same taping right before the match right before. She's a local. She was a local worker and got a concussion.
I hope they take care of her.
Mm-hmm. That's just, those ROH tapings are going to air. Probably going to be great. Two matches had to be scrapped because of concussions. Let's go to break.
So when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Bad Blood, which is going to be this weekend live from Atlanta, Georgia. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Now at 10 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line! Go Stone Cold Simpson!
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to The Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the right way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are going to be talking about Bad Blood, which is going to be live this Saturday from my hometown of Atlanta, Georgia. They're holding it downtown at State Farm Arena, and this is going to be a show.
It, for those reminders, it will be starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Check your time and local availability in your neck of the woods, because they don't want to compete with the, they can't compete with the UFC pay-per-view. So yeah, so they're going to go on before the pay-per-view, and then everyone can go ahead again and watch the UFC pay-per-view. So it's TKO Synergy working in full effect. Ding.
Anyway. I mean, you know, I'll take it earlier. I'm not going to complain about earlier.
I'm going to complain earlier because the Phillies game's at on at 4, which means the you final
have, that you have finish. Multiple screens.
I understand this.
We live in the day and age of multiple screens.
I understand this. It doesn't mean I don't want my concentration to be on two things at once.
I mean, you could. You don't have to watch the pay-per-view live. You could watch it later.
But I do have to watch it live.
Are you talking about it on Saturday?
No, but I'm watching it on Sunday. We're talking about it Sunday.
You could watch it Sunday morning.
I could. There's also football on at 9:30 in the morning.
Who the fuck is playing at 9:30 in the morning?
Vikings and the Packers from London.
Oh, Jesus, fuck.
So there's no time. There's no time. No time.
Well, I mean, it's what? Do you really care about the game from London? Do you really care about it? It's the Eagles.
Eagles don't play this week. But it's not
even better. So, you know, you could just like watch the show.
But then there's more football, then there's more baseball. There's no time. You have to watch things live because then you have to avoid social media and you don't want to be spoiled.
Well, I am spoiled, but that's a different kind of spoiled.
October is great. I just don't like the because if it was on at 7, we would be fine. The earlier start time at 6 kind of screws the pooch. But this,
I mean, you don't have to watch the baseball game.
Are you serious?
You don't have to.
Is she serious, chat?
You can miss a game for wrestling.
It's playoffs.
They will be out of the playoffs if you miss one game.
It's the first game. You got to watch the first game. Anyway, the Falcons are losing currently to the Buccaneers 30-27.
Yes, I know. I have the game on and I'm watching it.
So there's that. You don't miss October baseball. Facts, man. Facts. Anyway, let's talk about the show that I'm going to be watching and baseball at the same time.
He's going to be simulcasting it.
I am. But one's going to be on the computer, one's going to be on the television. Dual screen doesn't mean I don't want to watch one thing and focus on one thing and then focus on the other.
I'd like to also point out that it's college football on Saturday, too. Anyway.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I know.
It's a thing. We didn't even talk about that. So, yeah, we have a 5-match card on this show. We are having the culmination of some things on this show. And yeah, it's shaping up to be quite an interesting encounter. So I'm going to kind of start in the middle and we'll work up to our big matches. So let's start with the Judgment Day. Liv Morgan in a return match, and she will have Dominic with her, is taking on Rhea Ripley for the Women's World Championship. And after what, 20 years? Something like that. We are finally getting a Dominic on a pole match, y'all. Because they're going to lock Dominic Mysterio in a shark cage and they're going to suspend him above the ring.
Well, LeMans, you're going to be disappointed. Anyway, yeah. So Dominic's going to be hanging there. He's going to be screaming for his life. He's probably going to try to throw things down to help Liv at certain points. He's probably going to try to escape the cage at some point. I just remember, like, my fondest shark cage memory is not the Enzo stuff people talk about. Mine is when they put Paul Bearer up there, and he was just screaming for his life.
That was fantastic. I love that.
He hated every second of it. And I think Dom's going to be the same way. This should be a good match. It feels like we're heading into a point where, I don't know if it's too early for Rhea to get the belt back, but she's going to get it back soon. Because when we move to Netflix, I see the belt on her. And we're 2 months out, 3 months out from that. But I think Rhea's getting the belt back shortly. Liv's done fine with the belt, but I think coming out of this, there's one match people want to see, and that's Liv or Dom and Rhea to fight. I don't know if we're going to get it, but it's the match people want.
Oh, God, I would love that.
It's the match people want. But I think, because I don't think they get into, like, this is the big Raw feud, Judgment Day versus the Terror Twins and their friends. I don't think that makes a war game, but it could. Because they like to do two war games matches for obvious reasons. I think Relive has been doing good work as champion. It's added confidence to her character. Going Rhea wins, and then they can go one more between Rhea and Liv as at Crown Jewel on a Raw something. I think we go one more time, but I'm going Rhea takes it.
I think we're having a few culminations on this show of feuds. And in terms of the Rhea and Liv stuff and the Dominic turn and all of that, we're kind of coming to the end of that, where I, at least to me and what I'm picking up, it's like you don't really have enough gas in the tank, or you have just a little bit left in it to maybe get to Crown Jewel with this. Maybe. But in terms of like Rhea and Liv and Dom, you had Dom turn. At some point, Rhea's going to get her revenge. It likely could be here. And then you sort of send Liv and Dom packing, right? With the rest of Judgment Day. I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about this, because it's not been my favorite feud. Like, I've had good, like, I've had highlight moments, but in terms of just the overall feud, it's not been my favorite. I thoroughly enjoyed watching Rhea Ripley beat the shit out of Dominic Mysterio, though. That's been amazing. I don't know. Like, I feel like Liv is champion. Like you said, it helped, but to me, it sort of run its course, because they're not really pushing her beyond what she's doing, if that makes sense.
It's elevated her character and given her more confidence as a character, but they haven't built another challenger. They did stuff with Zelina as the go-between, but they haven't built a new challenger for her. So you could take it two ways. You could, this feud has to come to an end at some point, and Liv either as champion moves on to other talent, whether it's like Natalya or Lyra and people like that, or you move on, or you give it to Rhea and she goes on and face people from the Pure Fusion Collective and other people like that. But you got to build the people as true contenders up, and that's the one thing they haven't done for either side, and that has to come out of, that has to happen coming out of this. So this is why they're probably going to get one more out of this, a return, probably a Crown Jewel, with Liv the one challenging and them trying to get the belt back. At least
you know what would be
thinking.
Hilarious? Is if Tiffany Stratton cashes in and neither one of them gets it. And you make Tiffany the Raw Women's Champion.
Yeah.
I know you're building it between Tiffany and Nia. Like, I know you're doing that. And they're a thing. They're a package deal. But it would just be, to me, hilarious that you have this, like, blood feud between Rhea and Liv. And at some point the title comes out of it, because I feel like at some point the title needs to come out of it between these two, because part of what you're doing with the whole Liv Morgan revenge tour is I feel like you need to push it beyond at some point, beyond just the, oh, hey, I stole your boyfriend kind of thing. And that's mainly what I don't like about this, because it's very high school to me. It's just, oh, hey, look at me. I'm the cute hot girl. I stole your boyfriend. Okay. And so I feel like at some point, if you're going to make this hotter, you need to push this beyond that and maybe go into that history of Liv and Rhea, especially to hit that history of the fact that Rhea abandoned Liv to join the Judgment Day. I feel like they haven't gone there at all with that, or even really acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Because like Liv and Rhea were a tag team, and they were actually on track, I think, to win the titles. I think they actually won the titles. I know they were on track to win them. And then they decided to do the Judgment Day, and you had Rhea do that really sudden turn on Liv, and she joined the Judgment Day. And like, they haven't hit that history between the two at all.
Talked about it a little.
A little bit, but not a lot. And I feel like that's really what this should be about. And so if you're going to evolve this and you're going to push this, you really need to go there with it. Like, just have Liv come out and say, you know, well, this isn't about Dominic, right? This is actually about how you left me. And you can take that in whatever context you like. But it's, you know, we were friends, or I thought we were friends, or I thought we were partners, and you just flat out abandoned me for them. You left me for them. You like destroyed my world for them. And now I'm going to destroy your world. And now I'm destroying your world. I'm destroying the group that you love. I'm destroying the family that you love because you took all of that away from me. So now I'm trying to take it all away from you. Like, I feel like at some point that should have been said. And that still can be said.
I think a majority of that was said in a promo.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was. I remember the promo. She talked all about, like, not the tag team per se, but she did go through the history in a promo.
But I feel like they need to hit it more.
Okay. Who wins?
But all that being said, I would like to see Rhea win. I would like to see her get the title back from Liv just to prove a point. I think Liv's done very well for the title. I think it's done wonderful things for her. But in terms of a champion, she's better when she chases. Mm-hmm. She's not necessarily as interesting as a champion. And I feel like you would have an easier time building opponents for Rhea versus Liv. Because Liv, as a heel, it's okay. She's a better underdog than she is a heel. To me.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Rhea.
Eight ball, Liv. You may rely on it. Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
Rhea.
Okay. Talking about the other part of Judgment Day and the other part of the Terror Twins. Damian Priest taking on Finn Balor in a straight up singles match. No stipulation, which is kind of surprising. I expect massive levels of shenanigans in this. I expect them in the Rhea match too, but massive levels of shenanigans in this.
I don't know.
You could see.
I feel like you'll get some run-ins towards the end, but I think they're going to have a straightforward match. Finn needs a win as a singles guy. He needs one.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he gets it here. I think we run this back one. We're going to at least run this back one more time with probably a stip attached. I think the build has been good, but with this whole feud, the way it's been going, we've hit a point of, okay, then what?
Yeah.
What's next? And that's kind of been the thing with the Liv and Rhea stuff is, okay, Judgment Day lays them out. Cool. Terror Twins get their revenge. Cool. What's next?
Yeah, it's kind of missing that spice and that heat. Like, it had a really good start because she had the turn at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
and but that, like it's lost a lot of its sort of like oomph.
But because I wouldn't say lost it. It's just it's culminating. It's we've been building towards it for months. We got the big turns, and now it's 2 months later. We've kind of hammered the point home. And they've done a great job of building to a strong singles match, which is what you're supposed to do. And you'll probably run it back one more time. But I think with the whole story, it's like a break in between for a month or two to come back to it really hot wouldn't be the worst idea either.
Brent brought up a really good point on Sunday that kind of harkens back to what Finn said after the turn. Which is essentially, you're not going to see me coming. I'm going to wait until you're completely off guard. I'm going to wait and I'm going to bide my time. And when you're least expecting it, when you've taken your eyes off of me, that's when I'm going to strike. And that's when I'm going to really come for you. And the thing about what he said and what they've done is that hasn't really aligned. And I would absolutely agree that you kind of split them apart after this, that maybe like, or not like directly after this, but maybe after Crown Jewel, where it's like, maybe you have Finn win a little dirty, you know, he cheats to win or something, which prompts a stipulation, you know, like a cage match or something. And that's what takes us to Crown Jewel. And then you have potentially Damian get his win there. And Finn goes off to lick his wounds. And then Finn goes off to bide his time. And Damian goes off and does whatever he's going to do, right? And then you revisit this in, like, say, a few months. Or, say, Royal Rumble's a really good time to do it.
All right, so if Finn didn't have the tag titles, I think that's the next thing. Finn and JD need to lose the tag titles. We're going in a completely tag team direction. That's kind of where it has to happen. But if Finn Balor is going to stay at singles, they need to lose the tag titles shortly. And have Finn beat Damian here. And now he has a claim. He just beat the former world champion. He should be in line then to fight Gunther for a world title because he just beat the former champion. And then you could have another man step up and have a number one contenders match with Finn Balor at, say, a Crown Jewel, leading to a title match at Survivor Series. Imagine CM Punk versus Finn Balor at Crown Jewel. for the number one contendership, or do the match on Raw, whatever the case may be. Because CM Punk in a crown jewel would be funny. I don't know if he may avoid that one for just, you know,
political reasons.
Reasons, because he said a lot of comments about it. But who knows what money does now.
There is something to be said in eating humble pie. That's all I'm going to say. Sometimes you have to eat your words.
But I wouldn't mind a CM Punk Finn Balor number one contenders match. But that's just me.
It'd be a good match.
I think we just got to go to the next. At some point, we got to get moving on to something new. I don't know if we are, because they may be waiting. We may be in this loop a little bit longer, especially probably because we're going to be waiting for Netflix. And we're probably going to just kind of get through Crown Jewel, get through the Survivor Series, and then build towards Netflix. So hopefully we get something new. But I feel like, okay, once these two battle and the winners decided, we got to get to something else. As far as a winner here goes, I'm going Finn over Damian. What about you?
I mean, he needs it. And he can get it in nefarious means, and it doesn't hurt Damian. So yeah, I'm going to say Finn.
All right. 8-Ball, does Damian Priest win this match? All signs point to yes. We'll...
Wrestler 1.
That's Damian Priest. All right, what's next?
Okay. Nia Jax, your SmackDown's Women Champion, is taking on Bayley for the title. This is a return from SummerSlam. They've been building to this. And of course,
Bayley beat Naomi to get the shot in this match.
And we have Tiffany lurking.
Tiffany's not cashing in.
I know that, but she's lurking.
I know. I'm just making it clear. She's not cashing in. Because I'm still going off the thing of the whole reason they made the pink briefcase was to sell it. And they don't come out for it till December. So there's no point of having her cash in and not have people walking around with the briefcase. So we got a couple of months before she cashes in.
My take on it is Nia's holding the title till at least Rumble.
Yeah.
I feel like she's been doing really consistent work. I feel like she's been doing very well with title. The character is suiting her very well, and the pairing between her and Tiffany is really good. I don't see any need to change that.
Mm-hmm.
But with SmackDown moving to USA, they may want to put a more visible champion. I don't know. That's the wrong word. I apologize. A more, like, a babyface champion, popular champion, but I don't know who that would be. Like, you could put it on Bayley. You could absolutely put it on Bayley, but I don't know if they're going to.
No, I don't think they're going to either. I think they're waiting for someone else to come back and become champion. And yeah, Nia's going to retain. Should be a solid match, but this is Bayley's rematch. Bayley loses, Nia and Bayley can then split off and do other things, and we find a new contender for Nia, whoever it may be.
We build that next champion. So yeah, I'm saying Nia wins.
8-Ball Nia, definitely. Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
At B, Nia Jax. You almost had a Wrestler 3 there. Almost.
I almost had a Wrestler. I got cheated out of a Wrestler 3?
Oh, it rolled by. It just then went to Wrestler 1.
I got so screwed, y'all. I got screwed.
So close, but yeah, so far.
So far. In the end, it doesn't really matter. Moving on. This should be a blow-off match. This should be the end of this feud, this quote-unquote blood feud. Let's talk about it. CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre in Hell in a Cell.
So Punk has gone on record where he kind of wants to, and I had this feeling before I heard his comments of, this is what an end of the feud match should be. It should not be something you book in October to just because it's the pay-per-view. Oh wait, they just booked it because it's October and it's happening at Hell in a Cell. But it's Bad Blood, not Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. But these two guys have earned the match. They've spent months building to this match. But he also wants it, like, it should be a blood feud, and the cage should be, it shouldn't be the spectacle people try to make it. The cage should be used for brutality rather than setting up a wild and crazy stunt match. Will there be some, you know, a couple bumps here with tables and stuff? Yeah. But I expect this to just be a hard-hitting, brutal match. Will we have weapons? Yeah. But I think they will serve the purpose of telling the story rather than trying to get a cheap pop from the crowd. I think they're going to just... It's going to be a rough match. Maybe not a 5-star classic, but it'll be what a Hell in a Cell match should be. And yes, because they've promised it, there will be blood. Now, LeMans brings up why it should be the main event. Well, the problem with that is they have bigger things planned. And it's okay if a match, if they open the show. It is fine if it opens. It's not going to take away from the match if it starts the show. It's not going to take away from the match if it is in the middle of the show. The most famous Hell in a Cell match, Mick Foley versus The Undertaker, did not close the show.
Yeah, it was like midway through, as I recall.
It was second to the last, third to the last, something like that. But it did not close the show. It is okay wherever this match takes place, because you just look at it as the match it deserves to be. And then you'll have your Nia and Bayley match, your Damian Finn match, and your Liv and Rhea. And then you close with, I'm sorry to tell you, the bigger stars. Because they have something planned for it. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But these two will have the match that they should have. And it doesn't matter where it is on the card. Would I want it to be the main event? Yeah, especially with no men's title on the line. Yeah, but you still have your WWE champion on the show. And at the end of the day, he should be the one ending your show.
Okay, we're going to pause right there because the Falcons are going to kick a field goal and they could potentially tie the game. So hold!
No, but give me quick thoughts on Drew and Punk.
Okay, somebody called a timeout, so we're good. I agree with all of that. And if this is more reminiscent of the Hells in the Cells of old, really the original Hell in the Cell, because it had violence, it had weapons, it had all those things, right? But they use the cage in a much more physical way than what is done in more modern times. Like, really what people, when they think of Hell in the Cell, they think of the Mick Foley match and they think of how violent that match was and all of the smoke and mirrors that were done to... I thought he kicked the ball. He was just practicing. God damn it, just kick the ball.
He did. It's a tie game.
Okay. I'm behind. Great, it's a tie game. Awesome. Spoilers. Anyway, but you think about all the smoke and mirrors that were done in that match, and it was done to hide the fact that Foley couldn't really walk or couldn't really move. There was a reason why they did it, which was to essentially hide both the fact that Taker was hurt and Foley was hurt.
Taker had a broken
foot. And, yeah, Taker had a broken foot, which I think he re-broke.
Coming down from the cage.
Yeah, and that is why he walks with a limp to this day.
But you had Shawn and Hunter have a brutal one. You've had brutal cell matches where it's about the blood and the cage is the weapon. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think with Punk and Drew, that is what we will get. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I think the problem with Hell in a Cell is that it does carry an expectation. For Hell in a Cell, you expect some crazy ass shit to happen in that match. Because there is a record book a mile long of it, of people trying to think of new inventive ways to make the match memorable, to make the match stand out, right? Like, because it's Hell in a Cell, right? It's this legendary match, and not everybody gets to do Hell in a Cell, especially with The Undertaker. Not everybody gets to do it. So it's a very, very, very special match. And there have been people that it's like, we're going to rise to the occasion, we're going to do some stupid, crazy shit, and we're going to wow everybody. And then there are people who are going to do more of a, we're going to use the cage as the weapon. We're just going to fight in the cell, which is what it's designed to be. It's you keep everybody out. Nobody can get in. And you just fight essentially to the death without anybody actually dying. That's what it's supposed to be for.
Yeah.
That was the original intention, was that Shawn and Taker had had this hurt, like really, really, really good feud. And in order to keep DX out and stop Shawn's shenanigans, they just enclosed the entire ring area in a cage. And Shawn and Taker were trapped in there together, and they just had to duke it out until one of them couldn't stand anymore. And that's literally what it was. And I feel like that's what this is going to be. And then whoever wins this match, that's it. It's over.
Yeah, it's over. They're moving this on
is from this. This is it. In terms of, like, so I feel like this will be, and I feel like this will be psychological too, that there will be a more psychological aspect to it just by who's in it.
Yeah, which is the way it should be.
In terms of who wins and who loses, I don't know. Like, I could make cases for both, but I kind of feel like Drew needs it more.
Is that your pick?
Yeah. I mean, because Punk is Punk. And Punk is pretty much waterproof in terms of, like, wins and losses. Like, he can take losses. He can, and he can like move on, just because he will never not be CM Punk, right? Drew, he's been doing great work as a heel. If you're going to continue to have him be a heel and sort of rise up to be that top heel in the company next or right under Gunther, then I feel like Drew needs the win. So yeah, I'm going to pick Drew.
In this sort of match, in this sort of feud, the end, the babyface needs to win. CM Punk over Drew. And Drew should take time off.
They both should take time off, but yeah.
I mean, but Drew should sell the match, take time off, take the next month or two off, because you don't need Drew McIntyre right now, especially going to 2 hours. You can afford to have Drew go home, rest his body, because he's been the guy for a long time, and just sort of let other people run the show for a little bit. And I think that would do wonders for him, the character, and the whole the feud, because, yeah, they need a break. And I don't think Punk's the one taking the break, because Punk had most of the year off because of injury. So I'm going Punk. 8-ball, Drew. Outlook good for Drew, according to the 8-ball on the wheel.
Wrestler 1.
CM Punk.
Okay, all right. And last, but certainly not least, let's talk about it. The tag team match where you have frenemies in Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns taking on the new bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu, with Tama Tonga and Tagaloa at ringside. They've been putting in some work on this one.
The Cody Roman thing, as we talked about, was really good. They did a fantastic job with the cinematics, Jeremy Borash, Paul Heyman, Rob Fee. Cody mentioned one other name, and I can't remember who it was, but they did all did a great job and putting that together. And Cody saying he was done with the bloodline, and then sort of being like, psych. Right. It wasn't a psych. He kind of was like, he just came back to help. Like, he reluctantly came and decided to help Roman, which has caused a rift with him and Kevin, and because Kevin's like, how can you help this man? And there's been tension there on SmackDown the last couple of weeks about it. Congrats to Atlanta for winning the game in comeback fashion again. It's what they're known to do.
Thank you for not fucking up at Ryan's night. I appreciate y'all.
Cody, so the idea of Cody and Roman as a team is intriguing, because it's something that you shouldn't have seen coming. And here we are. The match will be really good. It'll be dragged out a little bit. It'll be like, it's a Roman match, so it's going to go a while. It's Roman's first match in forever. It'll be interesting to see Roman and Solo interact, Roman and Jacob interact. Lots of shenanigans will be involved in this match. So Cody teased a couple things, that while the WWE Championship is not happening on this show, not being defended on this show, there will be a vignette on this show setting up Crown Jewel that's already been filmed, or whatever that means. Then an off-air appearance on the Pat McAfee show on Wednesday. Pat asked about Cody, and they're talking about the big guy return is coming back. I heard Pat's like, I heard the big guy's coming back this weekend. Cody's like, which one? And Pat's response was like, all right, you just gave me all the answers I needed to know right there, which could lead to, you know, speculation of Dwayne getting involved in some fashion. I don't expect Dwayne. If he shows up, great. And that may be why it's the main event, or it's just because it's Cody and Roman. But I think it's a little too early for Dwayne to be back. But who knows, unless they do something. Okay, so it all depends what Crown Jewel is going to be. And what the speculation is for Crown Jewel is Roman Cody 3. That's what people think is going to happen. That's kind of the rumor going around. That's where they're headed. Which I feel like that's a little early to do it, but I know they want to give Saudi something, so they're going to give them the biggest match they can do. I don't know what. I figured you'd go Roman Solo before you do Cody and Roman again, but here we are. And maybe Dwayne has a free couple of weeks and he wants to go over to Saudi Arabia and be a referee. I don't know. Cody and Roman winning here, I don't know what it does for the feud with Roman, the bloodline, but we've already done the idea of Cody eating the pin in this type of match with like Solo being Cody and getting a title shot, and Cody taking the pin. And I don't think Roman's coming back to lose, but he could. But if Roman loses, then you can't do Cody Roman 3. I think whatever the vignette is, and it sets up Crown Jewel, it's like, well, if Cody and Roman win, then Roman gets next. So that if Cody Roman's the match, then Cody and Roman have to win. I don't see how the solo look weak. I know, like, that's the struggle here.
You've had the Bloodline be relatively dominant up until this point. And I think is there one more coming?
I don't know. I think the Hikaleo.
I heard there's another Fat 2 on the way, maybe.
Hikaleo is signed, but he's apparently going to NXT, so I don't think he's going to be involved in this story. I think they have enough. I think you have enough with 4 at the moment, especially if Dwayne's going to side with the Bloodline and not Roman and Cody, Roman's side.
I think
that you don't need any more. Like, then that's too many numbers, and you can't. There's not enough baby faces on SmackDown to even it out. Yeah, Rock would make 5, which is why I don't need Hikaleo, which would make 6. You don't have enough to counter, and WWE doesn't do 10-man matches. So I think you're good on numbers.
There is a wild card in this that we're not considering. And this is a long shot, but go with me on this. Let's talk about Paul Heyman and the fact that Paul Heyman has not been seen since the Bloodline took him out, a couple months ago, mm-hmm. Put him through a table. He is the advocate for Roman Reigns still. And we know that Heyman will side with Roman. He went down siding with Roman. He was loyal to Roman. And so a way around this is Heyman costs somebody. He either costs Roman or he costs Solo in an act of revenge. And you have Heyman take the blame for it, where he's like, Roman didn't put me up to this. This is a screw you for what you did to me a couple months ago, where you put me through the table. This is me returning the favor to you. Or Heyman outsmarts him or outsmarts them or something, right? Like, that could be a way around this. It's not the cleanest, most direct way to do it, but it is a way around it without using the Rock, because it's prompting Dwayne. That could prompt Dwayne to come back. Now, the other side of that is Dwayne has been in the area recently. I know he was here to visit the high school up north. I think he's shooting something right now here.
Which is why there's a strong possibility of him
turning up.
Where I've been able to film something with them, say when they filmed the Georgia Tech stuff, if he was in the area.
It's still a great promo. I feel like you can get to Roman and Cody 3. You can take your time on that, because I think the more prevalent feud for Roman is not Cody. It's the Bloodline. It's Solo. It's Dwayne. Because if you're going to do Roman versus Dwayne, if that's the end goal of this, then time's ticking. Clock's ticking on both Roman and Dwayne. Dwayne especially, because I don't know how many more matches Dwayne has in him, how many to do. So if the end goal is you're going to do Roman versus Dwayne for the soul of the Bloodline or for whatever, then I feel like Dwayne needs to cost Roman and Cody here. He comes back and he helps the Bloodline win. Like, the final boss gets his revenge for WrestleMania, because Roman hasn't been seen since. And it could be that they have it come out and it's The Rock and it's, he's coming out to help Roman Reigns, side. And then, of course, you turn Roman and cost them the match. And you have Solo pin Roman, which then allows Roman to go into a feud with Solo and the Bloodline. And you have the whole storyline there. And you do that, and then you move Cody on to somebody else, and then you could always circle back to Roman and Cody later. Where it could be Cody tries to help Roman at some point and costs him, or you just have Roman walk up to Cody when he's done, and he looks at him if Cody's still got the title and is like, that's mine, I want it back. Because I would reasonably say that Cody is going to at least WrestleMania with the title.
Possibly.
Earliest I can see him losing it would be Rumble, but I can see him going to Mania. I can see them making it a year with him. Because he is one of their, if not the most popular superstar they have. He is their moneymaker. He's the company man. Everybody wants to see him. Everybody wants to see him with the title.
Unless
there's nobody that can really...
He has a bigger money match without the title.
Which he could, and that's fine. But what would that be?
Because before you get to Roman Dwayne, we set it up the night after WrestleMania.
Cody and the Final Boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that too.
I think that's first before you get to the next. But who knows? This one's a tough one to pick. Because
which I like.
We laid out the options of they're doing Cody Roman for the belt. Cody Roman needs to win. Rock has to come back, and if Rock's showing up and helping the Bloodline, then the Bloodline win. Okay, we laid out the cases for both, and because now I'm just over everything. Who wins?
I feel like the Bloodline wins here.
Okay.
Just to add that tension.
I'm going to go Cody Roman. 8-ball. Bloodline. Not so good. Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Cody Roman.
Okay.
There and you that's go, chat. The show.
So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Tomorrow night, after SmackDown, it's GM Battles. 10-ish p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it's CB Radio Live. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern, reviewing Bad Blood. Monday night, Raw, the Raw Post Show. 10 p.m. Eastern now. So
weird. It's so weird.
That should be fun. And we'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, and for another edition of Rack, reviewing Bad Blood. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit code RockinSock or
Lynn's M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or other game store, when you buy the icons of Fortnite, the Incredibles, and all the other Marvel creations that are in there, because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@someofLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211 for all of his stuff. Tell him we said hi and make sure you subscribe. And also, happy birthday, Tim! Because we forgot to say it. So happy birthday, Tim. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we will see you next week. Bye. And that's all right. I say your prayers, you'll get through every night. But now that's over. I see your fantasy. You want to make it a reality. Brave and gold. See inside, inside of our heads. Yeah, well now that's over. I see your motives inside. Decisions to hide. WildTalkRadio.com.